TNT Radio wants to know what you really think, because your opinion matters. At TNTRadio.live, upload a video, some audio, or drop us a note on TNT Radio's soapbox. Today's news talk, TNT Radio. Germ warfare is Jeremy Nell on today's news talk radio, TNT.
You know, I know that Trump got a few things wrong when he was the president. Like Operation Warp Speed was a disaster. He did a few other things that were, you know, foreign policy wise, maybe not all that great. But I love the fact that he's running again, because the reason why I like Trump is not for his politics. I mean, I'm not even American, right? So I don't have a dog in this fight. I'm just watching from halfway around the world. Well, what I love about him is how he derails the media. He just says something and the world media goes ape. It's so funny to watch. You know, he just says the word China and CNN melts. You know, it's for me just so great to see. I thought when he was the president, I thought he was the world's greatest troll. I think he got knocked out of top spot by Elon Musk, who I'm now convinced is the world's greatest troll. But I am very excited to see what's going on. Elon Musk, who I'm now convinced is the world's greatest troll. But I am very excited to see what's going to come of this this attempt to run. I kind of hope that he doesn't win, mainly because he went out with a bang, if that makes sense. And it's nice to see somebody, you know, at that level, and then they don't try and redo that, because it might just look bad, you know, on their CV later on. But whatever, it is what it is. And I'm looking forward to seeing the media having a complete hernia. I personally, if I'm being honest, I personally like Ron DeSantis. I like him. I think he's a bit more based than Trump. But okay, tell you what, let me get to my guest. My name is Germ. This is Germ Warfare, the battle of ideas.
All talk, all the time.
I like the conversation.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Jim Gale, make permaculture great again.
Permaculture started great. It continues to be great, and it will always be great.
It must be really early where you are, because your daylight savings has kicked in.
Yeah, it's only 8 o'clock, although I got up this morning at 4:30, which is not normal. I usually get up around 6 or so, but I'm so darn inspired about what's going on right now in the world in so many ways. There's just, of course, there's a lot of crazy crap going on. There's a lot of people that are suffering greatly, but what inspires me is I can see a path very clearly to a free world, a free humanity, a scalable way to change and free the world. And we're doing it at an exponential pace, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, I love chatting to you, and I love this particular type of general theme around health and diet and food and so on, because A, it's extremely uplifting. It's very positive. This is proper white pearl territory. This is where you begin your journey of getting off the grid.
Absolutely. It starts in the heart and the mind, right? So many people are controlled by the mainstream media narrative that promotes fear and division. And we look at Biden and Trump. There could not be two more divisive candidates running for anything. I mean, who will it be in place of Biden? Of course, it won't be Biden, but whoever they pick, it will be, mark my words on this, it will be the two most divisive characters that we could put in the scene. And why are they doing that? It's a divide and conquer strategy. They're setting up for a civil war. The fact is that half of the people, they don't believe in guns. They have been poisoned to the max. So I don't see it being a big war, but I do see it being a lot of division in our country more than ever before, even more than the Civil War, I believe.
It's very easy to see the outcome of that, shall we say, pseudo war, Jim, because the people you are referring to are so concerned about being unhealthy, being inside the house. They've got like vitamin D deficiency. I mean, these are not people who are going to last more than 10 minutes outside.
Oh, you're so right. I I look at them like, man, they're killing their own army. it's such a crazy scenario.
It's funny you say that, though, because if you think about it, I mean, in an actual war, right, if you want your soldiers to last a long time, they need to actually be A, healthy, and B, fit. You cannot expect longevity if they are eating poison.
You nailed it. Unless the intention is to have your soldiers diseased and diseased and not able to fight, which seems like an obvious intention right now.
Yeah. As I'm talking to you, how's this for a segue? As I'm talking to you, I'm very stiff because just before I started my show, I was in the gym. I was doing some deadlifting and whatever, and I'm now pretty, I feel like jetty. How do you say it in America? You say jello, hey? You don't say jetty.
Jello. Yes, jello.
But we in the normal world, we say jelly.
I never heard that before. That's awesome.
I think it's a British thing, come to think of it. Oh, well, let's have a look to see what people in the live chat say. Do they say jello or jetty? Because it's one of those things that, this is just going off on a tangent here, but I think it's a British thing, a Commonwealth thing. I think those in the Commonwealth or the former Commonwealth would say jetty, and they say it's the same thing as jello. Because you would have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, is that right? Or peanut butter and jello.
Jello. No. Jelly. Oh, jelly. I see what you're saying. Jelly and jello are a tiny bit different. But yeah, peanut butter and jelly.
Peanut butter and jelly. Okay, right. Yeah, it's weird. That little change can actually mean the difference in what you have on your sandwich.
But deadlifts, those are some of the best exercises you could ever do for your body, right? Because they really incorporate all the muscles, the whole works.
Yeah, and they also make you feel kind of badass.
Yeah, they do. You're holding a ton of weight and you're rawr. Yeah. And when you incorporate your mind into the exercise, so I deadlift once a week. I do 3 reps. I hold the bar up and I hold it for as long as I can. I max out and I do that for 30 to 45 seconds, 3 times once a week. And it's a life changer.
Yes. So people in the comments in the live chat are saying that in the UK, they also say jelly. Jim, you know, you and I've chatted about permaculture and there's so much to cover. I mean, the whole thing is about, it's about taking back your health. It's about not outsourcing your health.
It's about freedom. And freedom includes freedom from dis-ease and disease. Disease is how they get into control humanity. They create disease. They create fear and humiliation and shame and all of these things. If you turn on CNN, it takes you about 10 seconds to diagnose the problem. The problem is the narrative. Yes. And I want to shout out to Marcel, my dear brother and freedom fighter around the world. He bought me a class from James Corbett, and this cannot be expressed, the value of this class. It was on mass media. And James Corbett went through weeks worth of, it was like 3 hours once a week for like 5 or 6 weeks. And it was epically detailed on how the criminal elements of our society, the psychopaths, the evil, how that purchased and controls the mass media narrative. And JP Morgan, he went into in detail how JP hired a group to study the most influential newspapers in the United States at this time, over 100 years ago. And then they purchased them all.
Of course.
Yeah.
But I mean, the thing, Jim, is that, you know, I'm talking about deadlifting, and you can't build strength without the correct food. And you're all about growing the correct food, getting rid of the chemicals, and getting back to what is actually healthy. And the healthier you are, the less likely you are going to get sick. It's an obvious observation that people don't seem to get.
It's embarrassingly simple, And the mind of the programmed, of the slave, is really what's holding them in disease. As soon as people realize how simple it is to be free, then they will automatically take action. And here's how simple it is. The number one thing is to take out the poisons, right? All the forms of poison, take them out. Now, when you look at government statistics on what you should be eating, we just had a government sanctioned document come out and it had Cheerios in the top 10 things to be eating. I'm not kidding you. So when we take out the poisons, which include Cheerios, and we then turn our landscapes into productive landscapes, landscapes that provide healthy, real food, not just for people, but habitat for the bees, which are suffering around the world, and the insects and the microbiome of the soil. When we do this simple, logical thing, it benefits us as individuals. First and foremost, we have to be free as an individual. Then once we are free, then we can help our families become free. Then once we do that, then we help our neighborhood, our communities, our friends become free. Of course, you can do it all at the same time too.
You mentioned bees, and my wife has always stressed the importance of bees and frogs in a healthy environment.
You can tell when you walk outside, and if you've got a lawn and you walk outside, you'll notice something. You'll notice no life. It's a biological desert. It's a death zone. A lawn is a dead zone. If you look at a permaculture food forest, which is simply a stacked bunch of array of diversity of food and flowers, pollinators love these food forests. I mean, at Galt's Landing, where we're building this off-grid community, there are so many butterflies all over the place. There's birds. Birds will come into the system and they'll eat some berries or mulberries or whatever. And then they'll fly a couple miles away and they'll poop. And now we've got a new mulberry growing up there. And bees, they're the pollinators. In fact, there was one study done on avocados where a guy was having kind of a crappy yield year after year. He hired a guy to come in with a truck that had beehives on the truck. The guy parked his truck or put the beehives on his property during the flowering stage of the avocado orchard. He got an 800% better yield because of the bees.
Gee, that's incredible. So are you in favor of artificial beehives, or do they just build naturally if you have the correct food forest?
So I'm in huge favor of boxes, right? Just beehives and boxes. Yes. And I'm learning a lot too. I'm kind of new to bees. And so there's a book called The Ringing Cedars. And the first book is Anastasia, and it's about the Kin's domain. It's about creating Freedom Farm Academies or food forest demonstration sites for personal reasons, because this is the best way to live. It's living in pure abundance and joy and beauty. So anyway, in that book, they detailed a new way to do beehives. That's our next iteration. So we can always improve, but yes, I am a huge fan of the standard beehive.
You've not mentioned frogs in previous conversations, but do they naturally appear in food forests, or is it something that you have to sort of bring in? You have to, you know, find them and get them to habitate the area.
Well, that's such a good question. I've got a friend in northern Minnesota who has a food forest that's about 5 years old, and he studies it. And he has more frogs living on his property. I think he said 7 different species of frogs and 4 or 5 different species of turtle. He's got birds that have never been documented in the United States. Russian birds that are living on his property. Because
Russian birds?
Imagine. It's just amazing. Imagine if
I'm a fan already.
An animal. What was that?
I'm a fan already if they're Russian.
Right. There we go. Imagine though, if you're an animal and you're flying around or hopping through the forest and you find paradise, are you going to stay?
I completely butchered my last paragraph with you. I hope nobody listens to that and cringes, but I got my words all wrong, but I think you got what I was trying to ask. I was fumbling while I was thinking. Anyway, yeah, the point is that frogs are pretty important. And the interesting thing about them is that they live both on land and in water.
Yes, so their skin absorbs materials from the external world. So frogs are one of the first indicators of poisons in the system. You got frogs now where on golf courses and all these places where they use poisons regularly, where the frogs are either dead, they're either gone, or they've got three legs coming out their butt, or, you know, they're just, you could see that they're deformed. So yes, frogs are a great sign of a healthy or an unhealthy ecosystem.
Okay, Jim, I gotta quickly take an ad break. I'll be back with you now.
TNT Radio's Timothy Shea.
Might be days before we get the results of the election.
Jean-Pierre said that waiting days is how this is supposed to work. No, Corinne, it's not. Back when we had paper ballots, we had results the same day. Here in New York, we used to have mechanical machines that were called one-arm bandits, which is also the nickname for slot machines that are rigged, because you would flip down the little lever over the name of the person you wanted to vote. There was a whole matrix of different people with little levers above their name, and you'd click down the little lever. And then to enter your vote, there was a big handle right across the machine, and the handle also operated the curtain. So you'd walk into the booth, flip the handle to the left, close the curtain, reset the machine, make all your vote selections, and then you move the handle to the right. Opens the curtain, and it registers your vote. Or did it? They were rigged just like slot machines could be. So rigged machines are nothing new. We know all about them here in New York State. But to say that waiting days to find out the results of an election is nothing more than a cover story for corruption. They need to figure out how many votes they need to cheat by. And all of a sudden, oh, what do you know? Several days later, they're going to find votes.
The Reckoning with Timothy Shea on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Public school is the instituted agency of socialism throughout every community.
The U.S. government has no authority to have any role in education.
We're going to lose our very republic if we don't stop this indoctrination of children in government schools.
What happened to us in China can't happen here.
Have one kind of education and then call it equity.
It's about outcomes. It's about trying to force us all to be equal.
I think we're going to have a race civil war in our hands.
We are exposing kids to pornography as early as kindergarten. Parents just don't know.
No, not anymore. Not anymore. Parents need to wake up. They don't have the interests of your child at heart.
Truth and Lies in American Education at SalemNow.com.
You have the power of information, lighting the fuse for freedom. TNT Radio.
Jim, someone in the comments is loving the idea of Russian birds. I'm also loving the idea of Russian birds. We need more Russian birds in our lives.
Yes, we do. We need to create more paradise around the world, and then we will attract the beauty of nature everywhere.
The thing about permaculture is that it's not just about growing food. It's also about basically rebuilding the soil.
Yes. Rebuilding the soil is the foundation of growing food, growing healthy food. You know, and I've done a lot of different types of growing. I've done a lot of hydroponics. Until I studied the actual nutrient density of the food grown hydroponically using simple chemical fertilizers. And I'm like, I'm not doing this anymore. The return on your energy when you build soil is the best return of anything we could do in nature or with our cash right now. At least that's where we're putting our energy and our cash, is building good soil. And then from that, then food is easy.
Is it though?
Yeah. It's incredibly, well, here's the thing. I have never grown a fruit tree or a berry bush in my life. I provide the home for the food producing plant. And then if I provided a healthy home, a good home, a home with nutrients so it can eat, then that tree will provide me benefits for literally generations to come. And some people like, well, what about the apples or peaches or pears or plums that go on the ground? Good. Let them go on the ground, because as they decompose, they're literally building life into the soil.
Man, people are still going off on the Russian bird tangent. It's hilarious. They're now making jokes. Russian birds are meant to be very attractive. Well, how's this? I've got a dad joke for you, Jim. I just made it up right now on the spot. Are you ready for the worst joke? It's Friday. So you're going to forgive me. And if Jeff cuts me off, it's because my joke was so terrible. Are you ready for it? A Russian bird, a moss crow.
Dude, that's quick thinking. Oh, God, that's fucking
Jeff
bad.
Is cringing.
That's good, too.
Hey, I just made it up.
I want to share something that's so exciting to me. I heard the commercial in the break about the educational system. Mm. Our educational system is meant to create slaves and to prop up the slave system.
Yeah.
So here's an idea that we are implementing at Galt's Landing that I want to share with the world. Anybody can do this. If you're a teacher right now and you want to teach freedom, you want to teach something that the students will benefit from exponentially, here's the model. So we're bringing in about 25 students. It's a private school. We're going to charge the parents whatever we charge them, whatever the market prices will be. It'll probably be somewhere around $750 a month per student. Here's where it gets incredible. The students are going to be in the field for 2 to 3 hours a day. Their primary objective as in their learning is to create self-reliance, true self-reliance, starting with permaculture design for their own lives and the lives of their families at home. So then the students will go in little groups, 4 to 5 kids, and they will go to with the teachers and some guides, and they will go to the family's yard. They will design and install a food forest, and then they will maintain that food forest. So they're not only getting one of the most relevant and beautiful educations that the students could ever get, but they're also creating all the food their family needs. So that investment will pay back infinitely. And then once their family is done, then the students' task will be to go into the churches and the parks and the community centers and all of the land around the community and create these food forest demonstration sites.
But that's actually quite profound, because you're using the word investment. This is not pay-per-view. This is not instant gratification. This is longevity. This is the long game.
This is an educational model that somebody's listening right now. And let's say you're a teacher in a school and you know that it's a bunch of BS. Well, then get with a friend, start talking with your community and sharing the model. And by the way, reach out to us and we'll help define this model for you, because the curriculum already exists. So we're teaming up with people and we're adding and adapting the curriculum to be really focused on creating true value in society while we're educating and the kids are learning about business. The kids are learning about productivity. Yeah, this is a model that could literally scale infinitely. It could scale globally and it could change the world overnight.
But it's not just something you learn. It's an integration of a philosophical way of thinking.
Yeah. Completely. It's looking at the world through the lens of ethics. Is this going to do good for the society? Is this going to harm? When we look at, you know, you go out to any of these restaurants or you get all these single use packages and the mountains of trash that are created every single day with our current food supply thing are just there. It's an unsustainable use of resources. Plastics, they have a half-life of thousands of years. They don't disintegrate. Now, there are technologies coming out where you can put plastics in some kind of centrifuge and turn them to diesel, turn them to fuel, which I think is fantastic, by the way. But the point is permaculture is about looking through at the world through a lens of abundance and freedom and ethics.
Yeah, but I mean, that is probably the most foundational value on which we need to be living our lives, one that's based on liberty and sort of sovereignty of health and well-being. And that extends into happiness, etc.
Completely. It extends into wellness. It extends into a high vibration. Feeling good, man, nothing feels as good as feeling good, right? Nothing tastes as good as feeling good feels. And when we start to incorporate this and we start to make a direct connection, I love chips. I'm still going to eat chips. I'm going to eat chips forever. I'm not going to eat Doritos. I'm not going to eat poisonous chips, but I'm going to find my organic chips and play the game. And then when I start noticing how I feel, you know, because right now there's a disconnect. Somebody goes to McDonald's and gets a shake or in a burger and a fries, the worst combination of poison you could ever have. And they put that in their body. At the moment, it tastes freaking good. I got to admit it. It tastes damn good. It's been 20 years, but maybe 15 years. But when we relate in that, when we become aware that putting that into our body is going to cause pain, then that is so valuable, because usually the pain comes in 10 or 20 minutes or a half an hour and we don't have a direct connection. So yes, what we're talking about is becoming aware of what's causing harm in our society and then taking that out.
Okay, Jim, I've got to quickly go to the news headlines, so I will be back with you and the Russian birds in a moment.
Matt Boyland here with a check of your TNT headlines. Despite the best efforts of the West to punish Russia and isolate Moscow over the war in Ukraine, Russia has instead strengthened its cooperation with some of the world's emerging economies. Indonesia's President Joko Widodo has urged world leaders to avoid dividing the globe into blocs and launching a new Cold War, and heavy rain has once again triggered flash flooding in the Colombian capital of Bogota, 2 weeks after 70% of the country was impacted by flooding.
On air and on the app.
I listen on the app.
Stay up to date around the clock.
I listen, therefore I know.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
You are listening to Germ on Germ Warfare on TNT Radio. Send me an email, germwarfare@tntradio.live. Let me know if you like Russian birds. I've become a fan instantly in the last hour. I am now going to be looking up on the internet for what Russian birds one can find. Jim, you have started a trend.
Yep, yep. I met a Russian bird in Italy one time. It was a wonderful experience.
Someone's saying they're listening from Texas. I love the idea, but they don't want us to use up the water. We're always being rationed. Now, that's an interesting challenge.
Yeah. And it's in permaculture, water is one of the first principles is to catch and store water. The three S's. You slow it, because in a big rain, the water will literally run across your land and it'll take the nutrients off of your soil and put them in the ditch. And then what our engineers have done all over the world is they have taken the water as fast as they can and put it in gullies and culverts and taking it out of the system. So in permaculture, you do the exact opposite. You create swales where when it rains, the water, you catch the water. You then sink the water, and then the water spreads into your land. So your land actually becomes loaded with water, becomes a water bank, like a sponge. And when you do use these redundant processes, you use rainwater catchment from your roof, you use proper permaculture design in your landscape, and then a well or city water, which is usually full of poisons, but some people, that's all they have. So when you use all three of those systems, then it's the way to go. And of course, if it's not going to rain for 2 years in your area, then that's just trouble.
Well, okay, so let's talk about that for a second, because that is a reality for a lot of people. What happens in droughts?
Well, everything dies. There's not a real simple answer for a drought other than to plan for the next rain event or move. Like, those are literally the only two logical answers. Of course, we don't know when the next rain event is. Like, there's a video online called Greening the Deserts of Jordan. And I believe it rains like once every, in one case, it rained once in 2 years. What they did was they created the swale system. And so when it did rain, a lot of rain came, and they were able to capture and store millions and millions of gallons of water in the landscape. And then they took a desert that was parched and dead, and then they turned it green. Literally, they turned it green. Now, here's something amazing a lot of people don't know. I just realized this a few years ago. A tree, a big tree in the jungle, will transpire up to 400 or 500 gallons of water a day. So what does that mean? The tree will, its root systems will go down into the landscape, and it'll suck up the water, and it'll bring the water up the trunk of the tree, and then the leaves will sweat or transpire. So the rain from a rainforest comes from the forest itself.
Yeah, so it's a self-sustaining ecosystem.
Absolutely. It's a circle of life. It's a circle of the humidity. You nailed it. It's just a circle where the water goes up and down, back in the land, up and down. And the trees and the plants are also filters of water. So if you have a system where you've got a bog or some kind of toxic water, you can put certain plants in that water. And we've done this at Gallet's Landing. We put water hyacinth in. We had a new pond, and our pond was mucky and brown. It was brand new, and there was no life in the pond. We let the water hyacinth just take over. The water hyacinth roots hang down, and they filter the water. So after about 6 months of this, our water is now pure, and the fish love it.
Somebody listening from France saying, well, don't forget that rainwater contains loads of geoengineering pollutants.
Yes, and well, then, the best way, I think, to fight that is to create awareness. There are a lot of people working for these corporations that are normal, good people that are starting to become aware that they are working for the dark side, that they are harming the world, and they're quitting. So we have to continuously spread the message and share with them the results of their actions, and then the good people will join us.
That's the thing for me though, Jim. I get so despondent when I constantly see these black-pilled folks who just keep bringing in this, like, there's no possible way out of this type of scenario. And it's, for me, it's nonsense. There are lots of good people in all these organizations. May I even dare to say that I think there are even good people working at the UN. They just don't know yet that perhaps they are on the wrong side of history. But they could be made aware of it at some point. I've got this inner belief that a lot more people are good than what we are making them out to be. They just need to be shown the correct direction, which is precisely what you're saying.
I couldn't agree more. This statement that a lot of people say that humans are bad and humans are messing up the world and humans are destroying the world, it's a half-truth. Yes, we are. But when we look at where the government is involved and the corporations and investment entities like BlackRock who invest in these corporations, right? BlackRock is not only the name of the entity that's investing in all the poison producers, it's also seemingly the intention of the entity, which is run by a computer named Aladdin, which I find just incredibly interesting. So the point with that is, yes, people can be inspired. When people experience truth and wisdom and health, they will gravitate towards that. They will choose that once they become aware that there's a choice to be made.
The same listener from France is saying education, which is exactly right.
Yeah. I missed that. What was that?
I said the same listener from France has just said, yes, it's about education. And it's precisely what it is. And the last 3 years, Jim, have opened up a whole new world of talking and communicating with people. I mean, you and I are now chatting.
It's incredible, right? And so many people are hearing this and they're sending this message to their friends who might work for these corporations, who might provide the poisons. I walked outside here the other day. There was a guy in the neighbor's house spraying. He came up with a mossy truck and he was spraying the yard. When these guys get done spraying, they put signs in the yard saying, do not walk on this lawn because it's poisonous. No. It just makes me see. And then a lot of times the signs are in the shape and the color of a heart. It's a red heart. So my daughter sees a red heart sign in the lawn and she wants to go up and grab the red heart sign. It's wicked. So I walk up to the guy and I said, hey, I just want to share with you. And he was, you know, he's in his 20s and he was just getting paid an hourly wage to do whatever. I said, do you know what you're doing? I said, do you know that you're poisoning the life in the soil and it's running off into the streams and ponds and oceans and that you're participating in killing our world? And, you know, he looked up at me and he goes, yeah. He goes, yeah, yeah. And he got kind of white faced. I don't know what he did after that. I've never seen him again, but I planted the seed. And this is when we all go out and start planting these seeds, then they will grow because people know it's true. They know it down deep in their soul. They know that what I'm saying is correct. So then it'll agitate them until it agitates them to the point where they change their actions.
A very simple experiment that anybody can do is go and drink some water from your tap in your kitchen and then go and drink some actual mountain water. It's a massive difference.
It's a massive difference. The water that comes from the mountains is structured and it's, of course, free of all the poisons. In fact, we're working with a fellow named Dolph who owns this, created this Analemma water, and we're going to be using that on all of our plants and our irrigation. And now, I used to think this is woo-woo. I thought, there's no science to back that up. It just sounds because I couldn't understand or understand the process. How does this work? Well, now they've got tons of science, tons of real science, tons of studies that show comparisons of plants growing with this good, structured, coherent water compared to the tap water. The tap water plants they look sick. They look diseased. Yeah. They're like they're going to die. These other plants are just thriving.
Somebody in the live chat says, Jim, you give me hope.
Ah, well, that's great because I have incredible hope. We are in the ascension. We are in a vibrational shift in society, in humanity. And so it's a matter of stepping into that with faith and courage, right? The fear, again, is the ultimate control mechanism. I cannot stress this enough because I lived it. When I first saw and learned about what was going on in the world, and I had my first two daughters at the time, and I was distraught. I was stressed out because I could not see a path to an abundant humanity, to an abundant society. I now see a very clear path to abundance, and it includes everybody listening, becoming a leader, leading first with your own heart and mind, and then inviting your family to join you. And here's the thing, you won't have to invite them. They will sense, they will feel and see and witness the difference in your actions and in your joy of life. And they will ask you, what's going on? And then when you share with them, then they'll want to join you.
Yeah, I always thought that my scientist friend, Tim Noakes, who promotes, good health, is a nutrition expert. I always thought he was one of the most passionate people that I've met, but I think Jim, you might be taking that spot.
Well, I'm enjoying the process, and that's what it's all about. You know, Campbell said, follow your bliss. Truer words have never been spoken. When we follow the message, the wisdom, the divine intelligence, it's the gap between the thoughts. Right. When I do a lot of meditating, I just take a few deep breaths wherever I am. Whenever I notice that I'm feeling a little bit uptight, sometimes you can feel in your body where you're feeling a little stressed or agitated. I just take a breath. I let go of it. And then all of a sudden, that's where the ideas are. That's where the magic is.
And of course, you eat food that is free of toxins.
Yes, mostly. I'm not perfect in that. I still go out to eat and I'm with family and we'll have a drink. We'll have some foods and I'm looking at the food and I actually do this very intentionally. I'll take a few breaths and I'll kind of put my hands there and kind of in a way like a prayer or a meditation. And I'll just take a few breaths and I'll say, okay, my joy of this event, this meal, this communing with my friends and family is going to be infinitely more powerful than the toxins that are in this food. And so far that's done well for me.
But I mean, that's the point. It's not supposed to be some radical cultist movement. It's simply a philosophy that focuses on liberty, well-being, happiness. And it doesn't mean that now suddenly you're going to reject everything that is around you. It's just a general trajectory to creating, firstly, ecosystems that are genuinely sustainable. And I'm using that word in its correct sense, not in the politicized sense. And it's also about, it's enhancing your own life experience with the people around you.
Oh, gosh, you make such a good point. In fact, I never really thought about how profound this is, what you just brought up, because I've done that. I was a vegan for a while in a way where I was so certain after watching a mainstream media narrative, bunch of bullshit on TV about how this is the way to go. And then I've tried all sorts of different ways of being. And when you try them with this kind of this scarcity mentality or this, I've got to do this for some kind of, it just doesn't feel good. It's icky. So yes, let go of all that BS and just literally enjoy, have faith and courage and be productive, be serving yourself and your family and humanity. And through service, really, you get the most return.
Okay, well, I'm going to return with you in a moment. I just quickly have to do one more ad break.
Give me a minute with TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
Even though it looks like the Republicans will take control of the House of Representatives and conceivably could do the same in the Senate, election night was a huge disappointment for the GOP. Exit polls show that while inflation was voters' top concern, abortion was right up there, and that's where Republicans blew it. After the U.S. Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade in June, the Dems went into attack mode on abortion, and rather than fight back, Republicans let them control the narrative on the issue. No fight. While Democrats in the media portrayed the decision as the end of legal abortions, period, the fact, of course, is the issue will be left up to each individual state. And while Democrats claimed they wanted to codify Roe into law, they all voted for bills in the House and Senate allowing for abortion on demand right up until birth, doing away with the restrictions that Roe provided. Even though only a small minority of Americans favor abortion without restrictions, the Republicans elected to keep quiet, and Republican Senator Lindsey Graham even talked about a national ban on abortion, which was as stupid as it gets. If they're going to keep running away from a winning issue, Republicans will have a hard time winning anything going forward. Thanks for giving me a minute. I'm Steve Malzberg for TNT Radio.
A few years ago, Steve Faircow's lungs were failing.
I don't think I had more than a couple weeks to live.
That's when Steve received a lung transplant made possible by an organ donor. Now Steve can do things he never imagined, like climbing 94 floors to the top of a skyscraper.
I never knew that breathing could feel this good. It's an incredible gift.
What could you make possible as an organ, eye, and tissue donor? Leave behind the gift of life. Go to organdonor.gov, U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Health Resources and Services Administration.
When the whole world seems turned upside down, we sort through it together. Lighting the fuse for freedom. TNT Radio.
Jim, Jane, I think she's in Ireland. She's loving your positivity. And then Rick, who's just outside of Johannesburg here in South Africa, he says that he loves your passion. By the way, speaking of South Africa, you are going to have to return in the near future.
Oh, I love South Africa. I spent several months in Cape Town and just the food, the atmosphere, the beaches. I had a penguin walk by me on the beach. I thought that was really cool.
Oh, okay. Well, then I know where you went because there's a whole area in Cape Town that is just full of penguins. I think they've made documentaries on it. It's in an area called Simonstown, which is it doesn't really matter, but it's here just outside Cape Town. Of course, Jeff won't come because he's too far away, and nobody cares about Australians.
Someone sent me an email.
Yeah, go on.
Oh, I was just to say another thing I did. Went up to Falls Bay and I actually grabbed a 15-foot great white shark. I was in a cage, but it was pretty cool experience, man.
That is also something that you could do when you're in Cape Town. Sorry, I got an email a couple of days ago from somebody from Australia saying they love how I rip on Australia. And I only do that as a joke. I've been there. It was a great experience. I thoroughly enjoyed Sydney. everything works. That's quite different to being in South Africa where nothing works.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But there is freedom in the chaos, Jim.
Oh, of course. The chaos breeds freedom. Like chaos is like the catalyst for freedom. And when Thomas Jefferson said, "The tree of liberty must be nourished from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants, for that is its natural manure." Like, that's a profound statement. Chaos breeds freedom.
Well, and so does good food and self-sustaining ecosystems, which is what you're all about. And again, I want to stress this. I'm beginning to understand that permaculture is more than, say, horticulture. It's more than just gardening.
Yeah. Oh,
am I right?
It literally is the path to freedom. When I say that, it's not tongue in cheek. It's permaculture means permanent culture, which means a regenerative culture, right? We currently have a culture that is failing on it's a complete systemic collapse of the ruthless and monolithic structures. And I quoted Kennedy when he said, "There we are surrounded by a ruthless and monolithic conspiracy that has conscripted vast wealth and resources in all areas of our society." Right. And then, of course, he got killed. So, yes, permaculture is the path to freedom. And it's permaculture, by the way, is not like it's everything that's logical. Permaculture is not biodynamic farming. It's the same thing. Permaculture is a reflection of all of the ways to live in our world that actually create more abundance and create a regenerative, healthy society.
Yeah. And what's important is that it can start with just you and then it can scale up to your family and then your community and, of course, to your town and so on and so forth.
Yes, it's infinitely scalable, and the principles are created by design so that they can be scalable and also very functional, right? When you read the principles, you're like, there's a couple that I have a tough time incorporating, like produce no waste, okay? I like that idea, but how do you produce no waste? I look at our garbage can every week here, and I just shake my head. I'm like, I got a long way to go. I'm not anywhere close to where we will be. But we're moving to Galt's Landing here next year. And at that point, I'll be much closer because most of our waste comes in food packaging and all the stuff around food. So when we're producing 90% of the food we eat from our own property, our waste is going to go down probably 70 or 80%.
Yeah. When you talk about producing your own food, though, are you just talking fruit and vegetables?
We're talking fish and chickens and cows. We'll probably have pigs here in the not too distant future. We currently have over 220 different types of food growing. If you name it, it's probably there. Avocados and apples and peaches and pears and plums and many different types of grapes and papayas and bananas and you name it, we've got it growing there. And if you're in an area where those crops don't grow, guess what? There are thousands of crops that grow. Like my buddy in Minnesota, he's got 300 different types of food producing plants in a very cold area. During the summer, it's paradise.
You sent me photographs of drone shots of, I think it's your own property, what it looks like 6 months apart. And it went from what looks almost brown and dead to green. How did you do that?
So in permaculture, there's the permaculture way that's taught and a lot of people advocate is slow and steady adjustments to the soil and all that stuff. We just bought a lot of soil. We bought a lot of mulch and then we designed it all and we sped up time by buying the resources. And then once you start with the base, you can go a lot faster. Like if we would have started with just that sand and not bought the soil, it would have probably taken us 2 to 2.5 years to get to where we got to in 6 months.
But the principle is the same.
The principle is exactly the same. The difference is we're buying resources instead of building them over time. Permaculture is an overtime process. Within 2 years, we're going to have infinitely more food than we can eat, right? Because of all the fruit trees and berry bushes. And then at that point, we'll have a marketable commodity in the midst of a food supply chain disaster. We will be able to supply many, many hundreds of people in our community with food.
That matters also. And there's an interesting byproduct of this. And I think some people might not like the idea of this, but I think it probably is. This is probably a good net result, but it might make slightly more redundant mega farming.
Mega permaculture farming? Or what do you mean?
No. So in other words, the more that people create their own permacultural environments, the less need they're going to have for mega farms.
Oh gosh.
You're
absolutely right. The mega farms, when I fly over, I just went and did a speech in talk in Philly, and flying over the landscape and seeing all these mega farms where it's one color, it's a monocrop, and those are radically destructive to our world. In the next 15 years, 90% of the farmland around the world, the monoculture destructive farmland, is literally going to go back to forest and wildlife habitat, because people are going to realize how logical it is to turn half of our lawns into food forests.
That's very interesting also. The dynamic of permaculture is that it's about variety as opposed to a lot of the commercial farming, which is essentially a single crop or a single animal.
Exactly. Yeah. Diversity is the foundation of strength in a system. So if you've got a bug come in or any kind of infestation, it will attack a couple different types of plants out of 100, but it won't attack everything because of the diversity. So in that system, the predators will come in that eat. So like wasps and spiders and ants are our frontline generals in our garden. I remember seeing there's a worm infestation on a couple of different lettuce type plants. And within about 3 days, there were so many wasps and geckos and spiders on the plants that they took out the parasites.
What? And what, really?
Yes. That's how nature works. That's how the balance of nature works. So what do we do in our typical society? We poison and we kill the spiders and the wasps and we fear them. Wasps and spiders are our best friends in the garden. And so are geckos. So are snakes, right? And to be aware of that and to say, I don't want to kill these things. Now, if I find a poisonous snake, which I haven't yet, but if I do, I will remove it. I've got kids. Mm. I do have a particular type of dog that actually goes after this type of stuff. And that's the permaculture solution. In fact, Bill Mollison represented permaculture well when he said, you do not have a snail problem. You have a duck deficiency.
That is a great way of looking at it. We are running out of time, Jim, but Rick has got a question for you. He wants to know if you use aerated worm tea as a fertilizer.
Yes, we do. We love it. We have a 50-gallon compost tea brewer, which is just a 50-gallon plastic bucket. We catch our rainwater or well water. We put it in there. We put a little bubbler in, and then we brew the compost tea, and we throw worm castings in there and some other stuff. It's gold.
Okay. I think we've got maybe a minute or two. So let's quickly talk about food forest abundance, Jim.
So if anybody out there wants to be free, wants to grow food, which is the best place to put our fiat right now, which is turned into shit and it needs to be composted, is to buy fruit trees and berry bushes. If you want to speed up time, then get a hold of us at foodforestabundance.com. We are all over the world. Whatever country you're in, we can serve you. And we have 45 incredible designers on our team now, 1,300 abundance ambassadors. And if you want to go to the next level and demonstrate what freedom looks like, you can create your own off-grid homestead. We call it the Freedom Farm Academy. Not only will it produce all of the food, water, and energy you need to thrive in the midst of a food supply chain and global disaster, which is a big deal, but it also becomes an education and demonstration site for your community and your friends and your family. So It's such an exciting concept. The Freedom Farm Academy, we have them going up in Ghana and Thailand and Canada, United States. We want these systems all over the world.
And at the end of the day, it's healthy and it's uplifting and it just makes you a better person.
Yes. And it's fun. I love just walking around my food forest. I've got a smile from ear to ear while I'm eating the free food that's all over the place.
Jim Gale, it's always a pleasure. Thank you for joining me in the trenches.
Thank you, Jerm.
And before I let you go, Jim, I just have to say that your passion is very, very, very contagious. So thank you for that. And yes. Thank you, Jeff, for keeping the show going. It's always great having Jeff around. And please send me an email, jimwarfare@tntradio.live. Love to hear from you. Let me know where in the world you are listening from. It's been a pleasure. My name is Jim. This is Jim Warfare, the Battle of Ideas.